The Do Something Index. Of all the teams in the city, I think the Wings were best positioned to do something, right?
Yeah, do something that mattered. Because, you know, the Pistons, they're a few years away.
There's only so much you can do to move the needle there. Come on.
Yes.
And we'll get to Tobias Harris and kind of the direction that they're going at 9:02. But when we look at the Red Wings, this was a chance to do something. You got to pay Sider and Raymond. But before those guys get paid and before your cap sheet fundamentally changes, you did have a sliver to add somebody impactful. And the only reason they don't have more than a sliver is because Andrew Copp's got a 5-year deal and Justin Hull is on an albatross contract. And you've got guys you can't move, as Yzerman found out this week. So he had to trade Walman. And he did. He had to attach a second round pick.
Yeah. Which he's got plenty of.
Sure. I would point out a second round pick is the round that he drafted Nikita Kucherov in Tampa. Like, they're not meaningless. He was in a position and he himself felt some urgency to create cap space and then didn't do anything impactful with it. So I have to question if our general manager got caught with his pants down, if he got de-pantsed because he showed up to market and was completely caught off guard, completely misjudged the market. Thought, what? You can't charge that. Well, that's what things cost now, Steve. You don't have to like it. Like, I think it's when you go to the grocery store and you go, I don't like that it costs this, but I need the ingredients to make my dinner. Well, you don't have an option to opt out of paying for groceries. You don't have to like the prices, but he opted out. So now we get to Chef Boyardee it up. 248-539-9797. Not a fresh bolognese, John. And that's my issue here.
Your number one pick.
Right, but you see where I'm coming from here.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And I understand the frustration of Wings fans that yesterday was a day where we set the table as well. We were excited that there was going to be something big coming, whether, you know, and it didn't, whether it was Stamkos, whether it was a trade, whether it was a defender, a goalie. And then the ones that you got in return, especially when you lose Gosh Despair and you don't necessarily replace him with a guy that can kill penalties the same way or, you know, it felt very anticlimactic for what you thought the possibilities were.
Ticket Texter's pointing out the similarities with the Wings and the Tigers. They're going the same route as the Tigers. They're betting on their youth, getting so much better. It will propel them to the playoffs. Hope it works out better for the Wings than it has so far for the Tigers.
Well, okay, for the Wings, right? You've got Simon Edvinson, who came up at the end of last year and kind of asked the question, why didn't that move happen earlier? Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider, all of those guys are still on the younger side and they are actually paying off. You can see a core versus the Tigers, Riley Green and Scooble.
And Scooble, but position players is really just Riley Green. Ticket Texter says Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider still have to be signed, so assume half of the remaining cap space was earmarked for them. I've viewed that way all along. You know, when they opened up free agency, you figured about half would go to Mo and Raymond, give or take. The fact that we don't know is because Yzerman hadn't got those deals done yet, which is a different criticism. But you figured about half of it would be earmarked for them. So I ask this fundamental question. What'd they spend the other half on? Because it wasn't to keep Perron or Gosh Despair, who were guys late in the season that were, you know, air Gosh Despair, and it was and it was Perron on the big goal against Montreal. They lost both those guys. And you could argue,
but they're also a part of a team that didn't get it done.
Sure, and you could argue that, and you could say Gosh Despair versus Gustavsson, who they signed, they may prefer Gustavsson's a little better defensively while still giving you some power play upside. They may have felt like that was an upgrade. They haven't replaced Perron. They don't have a complete second line right now in terms of, you know, putting guys out on the wing who can score. They don't have a right side defenseman that I think they still desperately need. So what did they do with the other half of that money exactly? They didn't fill out their top six. They didn't fill out their top four on defense. The goalie situation, guys, I don't want to sell this as something more than it is. Ticket Texter points out Talbot was good behind a good LA team. Our defense is worse as of now than last year. He may get exposed this season. Who knows? Goalies are weird. He could stand on his head and give you a couple hot months and it was a good signing. It's just I don't want to promise people more than what he's capable of. He was terrible in April and the postseason last year. He was yanked in their playoff series. He was bad down the stretch, and he's getting older. We all are, but he's in his late 30s. And for a goalie, I do worry if he get exposed behind a worse defense or in front of a worse defense. So what did they do with the other half of the money? I will grant you, Sider and Raymond are going to get paid. It's all going to be okay. They're core players. Eisenman will take care of it. He's got a plan. It's the Eiser plan. What's the other half of the money being used for? I'm still waiting on that answer. And a lot of you are going, he'll figure it out, he'll figure it out, he'll figure it out. What if we stop giving him the benefit of the doubt because he got exposed yesterday at the market because he misjudged it?
You're assuming that he misjudged it.
Well, why did he free up the cap space?
Again, these are questions where I agree. I'm asking that question. I don't know that we have a full complement of evidence to make that answer. As of now, even though it's incomplete, there's still more of the offseason. He could still make trades. Yes, you are correct. It felt like he got caught with his pants down. I'm just willing to be a little bit more patient this offseason because it's not over. I can't believe it's over.
I know. All I'm saying is if we are to believe he made that move, trading a second round pick, giving up a second round pick, and then went window shopping, he misjudged the market, which means he doesn't get unimpeachable benefit of the doubt. So then anybody doing it's all going to work out needs to understand that he already misjudged the market once. He could make up for that, but he is not perfect. So I guess I still will ask that question, and I would love to get one person to legitimately explain where the other half of that money's going
to make
his team better.
Yesterday he makes two significant signings, though. Then, you know, he's blocking the young guys, right? I mean,
okay.
See?
All right.
I know. You don't have to. No, don't leave.
Come on. Are we blocking who?
Exactly.
Who are we
blocking? This is the circle here? Because nobody's taking a chance. And I'm getting shredded on Ticket Text by the know-it-alls out there that want to trade Norris Trophy candidate Mo Sider. Was he at the awards ceremony? Oh, give him more time. Give him more time. Time. You know what? He's a really good player. He might be an all-star, okay? Is he a starting all-star? I don't think so. I think there's other better defensemen in the league, okay? My big thing is here, people in this town, first off, they're more protective of Yzerman than like the Harbaugh criticism, even though they're on the same timeline, and I've said time and time again, Harbaugh was the right guy for the job, so is Steve Yzerman. But guess what? At some point, you've got to just have a bottom-line result, right? I still think Yzerman's a guy. But you have got to take a chance, and you have to take trades that are risk. You have got to take a risk. The Florida Panthers took a risk. They took a risk.
Yep.
Okay? Look, it paid off. Take a chance. Wouldn't you rather go down taking some sort of chance here? A reasonable type trade, targeting that guy in his mid-20s, but you got to give to get.
When our teams start a rebuild, the first couple seasons, you go, hey, I understand it doesn't make sense to take big swings. You're going to kind of develop what you got. When you're 5 years in and you finish basically a game out of the playoffs and you're about to pay Sider and Raymond because they turned a corner, I'm higher on Sider than you are. They gave him a really tough assignment this season. He played the toughest minutes in the NHL metrically. I think he's got another gear. My point is when you're going to pay Sider and Raymond and you believe in these guys and you feel like you already paid Dylan Larkin and you got a bit of a core here and you're on the edge of the playoffs, now's the time to do something. You don't get to slow play this forever. The window has begun.
Mo Sider,
the expectations have begun.
Mo Sider is not the problem. My point is sometimes you have to give up an asset. I think that would be the last thing. Like I'm going to call myself out here. I would really question if you move him at this point. But I'm also wanting to see if you're going to pay him, be a superstar. This team doesn't have a superstar.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of, and that's, I don't see it coming from any of them. I think Sider has the most upside, but I think Raymond has all-star capability. Again, though, are you the guy getting the top votes to get into the game? I don't see that kind of talent on this team.
Texter says, Yzerman is just a bad GM. If his last name wasn't Yzerman, we'd be talking about firing him. The lack of signings, the lack of talent, it's a shame. This team was close last year, and this Texter says they got significantly worse. I think another Ticket Texter brings up a good point. He says, how come the Wings are in cap hell when the roster isn't any good? It's a fundamental question. You don't have the space to go out and play with the other kids at recess, but you're not even a playoff team. And it's not like we can blame Ken Holland anymore, because any criticism of Yzerman in his second, third, and fourth season was, you don't understand, you don't know hockey, he inherited a bad situation. Everybody here is his guy. If there's problematic contracts that are stopping them from making more impactful moves, he can look himself in the mirror and answer that himself.
You have to make shrewd moves eventually. What's a shrewd move? Somebody pointed out DeBrincat on the text. I question why a guy is going to his third team when he's, what, 24, 25 years old? There's a reason, okay? The guy disappeared last year when Larkin was hurt. He's one of the main reasons why they didn't make the playoffs last year. Remember the point list? Like, he had, what, the one point or so, one goal and whatever? I mean...
Yeah, and when Larkin went down, we started to see or understand a little bit more the importance, even though he's not a top-line guy throughout the NHL, for this team, we understood a little bit more at the beginning of March what he means to the success of this team. But you can't always count on him to be there every single game. There's going to be stretches where, hey, he's hurt or there's something that happens and you have to have other guys, DeBrincat, Kane, that are supposed to be the guys that step up. And in that stretch, when it mattered most, they disappeared.
I just question, why are we in a city where we can trade or have the conversation to trade Tarek Skubal and we can't have the conversation to trade any Red Wing? Why?
Well, in theory, because you're closer than the Tigers are.
But I don't know how much closer they
well,
are.
Okay,
we I think they took a step back yesterday.
Calls, you guys are on hold. Ticket text, some good stuff coming in. It's 97.1.
Hey, dive into the best pool in history. That's Stadium Swim. And it's debatable whether it is or not. We think it is because you've got six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of a massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen. You can watch all your favorite sporting events right there at Stadium Swim on that screen. It's America's favorite place to watch, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, even other sports. It's built for it. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Jim and I are going to be out there at the end of August. Can't wait. Hope you join us. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, that's pretty much sums up yesterday. Window shopper. $1 billion spent yesterday.
Record, wasn't it?
Yep. Meanwhile, Steve's looking, going, hey, storefront by storefront, peeking in through the window, going, ah, I can't afford that. Can't afford that. Why can't you afford that? You've been the GM 5 years. You don't have the cap space to make these moves? What are we waiting for? You're on the edge of the playoffs. You had $30 million. Earmark half it for Mo and Ray and go add an impact guy, not third line defensemen and 37-year-old Band-Aid goalies. Like,
Do you think he's done? I think
no, I don't.
It sounds like the way that you're coming at that is that this was the only opportunity that he had.
No, but I think
it was the opportunity of the day.
It was the opportunity because you don't have to give up anything like you do in a trade. You have to give up cap space, something they had abundance of, and they just were not willing to give out long-term deals, but everybody else is. And are you willing to compete in the marketplace, on the ice and in the marketplace? And the answer yesterday was no. Can he make up for it with a trade? Yes, I think they have to make a trade. They have four goalies and they have five left shot defensemen. They're going to have to make a trade. But they need a lot still. I mean, in one of Filar's updates, he had a quote from Ken Cowan. It's, what do they need? And he's like, a little bit of everything. Second line winger, second pair of defensemen, little of this, little of that. Well, you're going to trade for all of it now? You have to give up to do that. I'm not ruling out that Steve Yzerman ties it together, but he put himself in this position because he was unwilling to compete in the marketplace yesterday.
But again, half of that cap space is going to be spent on two guys that you, whether it's bridge or it's long-term deals,
yes,
you're going to spend some of that money. And now maybe he understood that the guys that he wants to actually go and get, he's going to need more cap space than he has. And you do that by trading some of what you already have.
The timing is suspicious. You did it urgently in a salary dump before free agency and then didn't make an impactful move. If he was doing it for a trade, you could always exchange salaries and trades later when it's time to make the trades. I think it would be a convenient pivot. He has to pivot. Good GMs do pivot. But it doesn't take away the sting of yesterday. And Red Wing fans want to weigh in. Chuck in Farmington, you're on 97.1.
I'm not that upset. I didn't think this class was that good. And some of like Stamco, I mean, I wouldn't do that contract. We'd be having a different conversation that here we go, the Wings keep playing for mediocre talent, overpaying for it, and when are we going to stop doing that? You know, the trade's the way it's going to have to happen. And if you really looked around yesterday, there weren't a lot of teams that were taking on cash as previous years. So, you know, you still have Toronto, you have Edmonton, you have there's a number of teams that have to shake things up, and they're good and better talent than was available yesterday. And look, it was underwhelming, but you didn't re-sign a defenseman for $4 million that's minus 75 on his career and was minus last year, and the only thing he did well was the power play. I mean, he was a human pylon.
You're saying Gostisbehere.
Second half of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but Chuck, you know hockey. So riddle me this. What would have been the downside in going after Montour? Is there a better player than Montour that they're going to acquire via trade? A guy who led the Stanley Cup champion in minutes played? He was available without giving up anything. Are they going to trade for a better player than Brandon Montour?
Okay, here's my spin to you. You're him. Do you want to come to a place that's a fringe playoff team, or do you want to try to, you know?
Do you know where he signed?
Is it one extra year? Is it $3.5 million than you're willing to spend? I mean, I don't know that one on the negotiations, but I'm not going to beat him up for not getting it, because if I was sitting there and I was an upper end player, Detroit wouldn't be my first destination.
Do you know where Chuck? Do you know where Montour signed?
I didn't see where
The Kraken, who didn't make the playoffs. So we can't use that as an argument. Come on. I think the Red Wings are a more desirable destination for any hockey player, regardless. And then you factor in that the Wings finished ahead of them. I don't know. I mean, maybe Montour's not very good in Steve Yzerman's eyes. I'll tell you that he was a key contributor on the Stanley Cup champions. He wasn't a guy along for the ride. He was one of their leading driving forces. And he was available on the right side for $7 million a year, which would not make him one of the 25 highest paid defensemen in the NHL. He would have been for free. You tell me who they're trading for that's better than Montour. I think the only rebuttal from Steve would be, it's a 7-year deal and we're uncomfortable with it. 7-year deals are yucky. Well, okay. You got to take some risks every once in a while.
If you're defending Steve Yzerman today, this is what you're defending. You're defending Ken Holland's words. He said on this radio station, when he said it takes 10 years to rebuild this thing, unless you get that generational player, which they haven't done. They haven't had lottery luck. And so you're methodically trying to build a super deep franchise that can have a sustained success, a potential dynasty is what you... And I believe in all that, instead of going for some 1 or 2 year type thing. And I think that's kind of what the Predators are doing somewhat with their moves yesterday. I don't think the Wings were in that position, but just remember, and look, I actually think Holland was right when he said it. It's somewhere between, unless you get something that falls in your lap, unless you make that crazy trade and you just try to rebuild your entire system, it's 8 to 10 years.
So then let's go with that. I'll grant Ken Holland, he's a genius, man of his word, 8 to 10 years. That's to win the cup, right?
Yep.
That was his point. To win the cup, it takes about 10 years.
So here's the deal. So we are at
a key moment. You are going into year 6. If you are not a playoff team, you aren't halfway to a Stanley Cup, halfway on the timeline. No,
what happens is you give Seider the money, if that's what the route you're going to go.
Yeah.
And he turns into a top 10 defenseman, not a top 25.
Right.
Raymond turns into a 100-point player.
Mm-hmm.
Kasper comes up and contributes this year. Edvinson...
Full season.
Along with Seider,
yep.
Your 1-2 punch. That's how it is supposed to look if you're on the Holland plan. And then you take this from, which is becoming year 6, to year 8, second round playoffs, maybe deeper, maybe you get hot. Kosa comes up, plays goalie. That's how it's happening, guys. That's what I want people to realize today, is the words of Ken Holland are playing out here.
Well, and not only that, but you know, by the time you get to year 8 and 9 and you're that playoff team, maybe Danielson is a part of that as well, who was the guy that was a Connor Bedard said he was the toughest one to play against. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I've watched anything of Nate Danielson over the past year or know what his development is. But if you're looking at the number one picks who have produced for Steve Yzerman, because you've got you go back to 19, that was Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond in 20, Simon Edvinson in 21, Marco Casper, who we just talked about as a guy that should be on the roster this year, as a guy that could contribute. And then you get to Nate Danielson, where is that next year? Is it 2 years? But that's part of that timeline.
I mean, Casper
that you're
might
talking
not
about.
Be this year, though, and he Danielson might not, might not be next year.
Well, and, okay.
That gets you to year eight.
Right, that's what I'm talking
exactly.
about. That's the and timeline. That's,
and it's okay if it works out, great. I just see other examples in another team here with the names of Casey Mize, Matthew Boyd, Spencer Torkelson.
Jinx.
Parker Meadows, even I mean, it's not a given.
Yeah,
and we've yet to see. I don't believe we've seen either Raymond or Sider completely like show me the evidence at least that they could potentially be superstars.
All right, let's get to what's trending. We've hit on some of the free agency. You know, the big names in hockey, Steven Stamkos goes to Nashville. Why did he leave Tampa Bay? What happened? Here's his explanation on Sportsnet.
Know your value. He knew his value.
Know your worth. In the NBA, Paul George goes to the Sixers on a 4-year deal. Klay Thompson, no more Splash Brothers. He's in Dallas with the Mavericks now, a team that was on the edge of the NBA championship.
Yeah, I think with Luka... And with Kyrie, and Kyrie is always that wild card. You never know what you're going to get, you know, week in, week out, year to year. But you put a shooter on that team like Klay Thompson, a scorer like Klay Thompson, take a little pressure off of Luka at least. I think that's look out for the Mavericks.
Attention, all Michigan hunters! Fall turkey license applications begin now through August 1st. John, you a turkey hunter?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just the problem is the fall. It's I'm more of a, spring gobbler is kind of where I'm at.
Okay. The Hawk Tua girl, her 15 minutes of fame are not over. John gets very uncomfortable whenever we reference this. She did a podcast appearance, her very first, Haley Welch, on the Plan Bree Uncut podcast. Everybody wants to know, what does her parents think of all this?
Yeah, I'm sure Dad thinks it's really funny.
Well, we know a loogie comes out. We know that much. Speaking of that, as gross as it is, people have asked for it. $600.
Everybody's got a price for something. Maybe $600 isn't going to get it done. I don't know. Up the ante a little bit.
Dudes are weird. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we've had people in the news that have, they sell farts in a jar. And that's something that people are buying.
The entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well. All right.
Weird.
That's what's trending. Coming up next, John, you want to talk about traffic?
I do. There's something that just drives me nuts.
All right, we'll get to that next. 97.1. This might sum it up. It says, guys, don't forget Kosa and Augustine will be arriving to save us. The reality is this is going to take more years. The Wings are waiting on their Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal. Spencer in Toledo. Yeah, it's been one of the themes today, reacting to the NHL's opening free agency period and the lack of high-impact moves from our hockey team. We're going to get to the Pistons coming up at 9:02. John has an issue with the Tobias Harris signing. We'll get to it. But first, roundabouts.
You know what? It should be one of the world's greatest inventions. And we are starting to see more and more roundabouts. And I know when you're on the miles, it's 14, 15 out here and you're heading, to the west, there's roundabouts that have been installed instead of traffic signals. They're supposed to keep the flow of traffic going, except I always seem to get behind somebody that can't merge. They can't find a way to get in line and get around. And then once they do, they can't figure out which lane they're supposed to be in. Well, they want to go straight. Well, so stay a little bit to the right. If you want to go all the way around and make a left, you stay in the middle. You want to go all the way back, or you want to make a U-turn, right? Stay in the middle. Like, it's not that hard to figure out, yet there is always somebody that messes it up. And then you have some that are about three, some even four lanes. And there's one, if you're going north on M5, you get the Pontiac Trail, there's a gigantic traffic lane or a traffic circle. And people are always in the wrong lane, and then they cut across. I got cut off by somebody that had a riding mower and a trailer. I'm in the lane that you're going to eventually make a left, right? Yes. I'm going north. I'm going to make a left on the Pontiac Trail. I don't even know what the name of the road is. It changes names. They're in the right, and they're trying to go south on 5. So they cut me off, not knowing that they're supposed to be in the other lane. And then there's the other thing where, because there's a lot of trucks that get in that one. And if a truck is in the center lane and it's okay for them to go, make the assumption that if you're on the other side of that truck, there's not going to be a car that goes underneath and hits you. So go ahead and go. Even though you can't see, that truck is going. Even if they made a bad decision, that truck is your blocker. They're not going to go through the truck to get to you. So move it.
You get all heated about these roundabouts and these.
It drives me nuts because it literally should keep traffic flow going.
Yes. That's the better than stoplights.
They're better than stoplights. And you just have so many people that either they're scared or they can't figure it out. And if you can't figure out a traffic circle, they should add this to the driving test. Until you can figure out a traffic circle, you should not get your license.
Is that an indictment on us as the Motor City that we're so bad at these? Because you're right. You can't pull up to one of those without seeing someone kind of like freeze up, panic, or just kind of yeehaw through the whole thing with a who cares who else is there. We do not drive through roundabouts or traffic circles well. Right. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And then you get the individual who is on the complete opposite side of the spectrum who thinks that this is somehow the space-time continuum and they're going to slingshot.
That's a good word for it.
Around the sun. To be able to create enough momentum to break the speed of light and be able to make it to Mars. Right? This is, and so it's those individuals that are creating the issues with those that can't pull the trigger.
So the question would be, do we want more of these or not? Because they, in theory, are good for the flow of traffic. But it's only in theory because we have people who don't know what they're doing. So do we want more roundabouts and traffic circles or less? 248-539-9797.
What more? And I just went through a process with two new drivers over the past couple of years, Lucy and Ruby. Lucy's now 18, Ruby's 17. They had their license for a couple of years, going on a couple of years for Ruby. And that actually is one thing that they have to do in the driver's test is they have to navigate a traffic circle. And we practiced that many, many times. I gave them the do's, the don'ts, the, hey, this is something that you're going to have to figure out because it is becoming more a part of our driving scene. And I love the traffic circle. We just need to figure it out. Please, people, figure it out. And it's interesting, too, because when you go to other places, right, the whole Michigan left, mm-hmm. when people are first new here, they're like, what is this? I got to turn right to turn left? It is also a great invention here in Michigan to be able to turn, like, because I don't want to get stuck at a traffic light for, you know, four different cycles when I can make a right-hand turn on red, get to the first one, make the left, and then I'm going through straight with the rest of traffic. Like, there are great things that we do here in Michigan. Traffic circles are new. They were not invented here. I've seen them at other places for a lot longer, and the traffic circle is supposed to keep the flow of traffic moving.
Texter says, preach, John. I go through that area every day. It drives me nuts.
Whether it's, and it doesn't matter if it's a weekday or weekend. And if you keep going north on 5, but again, it changes at that point, that's where you're headed towards Waterford. there's a number of traffic circles. And it is a beautiful thing that there's not six different traffic lights. There's just traffic circles because you get to it, you ease in, you keep going straight, you keep moving.
John, I drive that M5 Pontiac Trail Martin Parkway roundabout every single day. Texter says it's a nightmare. I'm behind someone that doesn't know how to drive all the time. Thanks, Sean in White Lake.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, I feel your pain.
It's very challenging to get out of roundabouts, signed Scott and Steve in Detroit. Let's get to Jeff in Ann Arbor.
Let's see what you did there.
Jeff, what's up? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I was just responding to your question. I think we need more roundabouts where they're needed, but what we don't need them is where people arbitrarily want to place them. You've got to travel Earhart Road in Ann Arbor, north of Geddes. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a roundabout for people's driveways. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the number of roundabouts where there's no traffic.
What, were there traffic lights there before?
No. No. I think there's got to be some kind of a master plan to use federal money to build these, because they crop up in the most unusual places in Washtenaw County. It's almost either pitiful or humorous. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've run into a couple in Washtenaw County where you're kind of like, I wonder why this one is here. I get you on that, but I still would prefer that versus if they think that intersection with development or community development that they have plans for, they'd eventually put a stoplight there. I would much rather have a traffic circle.
I would totally agree with you. Check out Earhart Road. Like if you go up to Glacier Road, it only comes off one side of Earhart.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go across Earhart, and there's a roundabout there. A couple of those.
Mm.
It's incredible. So, hope that helps.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Jeff, appreciate it.
John, I love this topic, but I do think you're just using a roundabout to talk about just some people can't drive.
Oh, there's
I
no
mean,
question.
Come on. What you said about the Michigan, yeah, you can turn left on a red. Well, some people don't know that.
Ryan, where
are
you from?
Okay.
It's just frustrating.
It's just paying attention and doing what you're supposed to do.
And you just mentioned a great thing there, because we are now 1 year into the new law that went into effect. I think it was June 30th of last year, mm-hmm. where you can't have your device. It's the distracted driver. The amount of people, and I've seen this at traffic circles as well, where they are one deep or they're two or three deep at a stoplight, and that's where they choose to get on their phone, and then the light turns green, or the person in front of them moves on a traffic circle, and then all of a sudden, you're sit there waiting for this person to move, and I have somebody that's sitting in my passenger seat that gets mad when I honk the horn.
That either deserves a Mark Ryan amen.
Oh, please don't. No.
Or the slow clap, because that is the one thing that's happened since this new law's in place.
Yeah.
People are sitting at lights longer, mm-hmm. and then that means less people get through the light.
Exactly. And
amen, brother.
You
amen.
And I are both in a position where, like we just talked about the time of dinner, where you're trying to get one kid to an event on time, maybe even a little bit early, because you've got to drop them off and then get to the next one. And you know that if you can line up the lights just right or the traffic circles, that you're going to get there on time. But then somebody, you missed the light because somebody was on their phone.
Exactly.
Drives
and
you nuts.
That's the thing right now. We live way down in Tecumseh, so when we live so far away, we got to go grocery shopping downriver. So we'll go over by West Road sometimes. I challenge you, John, to get onto West Road from Telegraph and go all the way to the river. Stoplight.
Yeah,
and there's no roundabouts, and they won't reconstruct it. It needs roundabouts severely.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. More or less roundabouts? Can we handle them? We should be able to handle them. It's an indictment on us. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years, or over on the west side of the state. And with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's right in the name. All Day IPA. Here's what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, we got a great time coming up on Thursday. It's the 4th of July. Why not celebrate with an All Day IPA? If you're making plans for the fall and game day and tailgates, All Day IPA, you can visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
We'll get to the Pistons in the 9 o'clock hour, but judging by the phone traffic, roundabout's the hot story of the day. Not what our teams are doing in free agency, but whether or not we have too many or not enough. John, you would make the case, we need more of these.
We do. We need more of them, but we also need people to get comfortable driving in the traffic circles. And I'm not saying you can't be out for a joyride, but I think there are a large number of individuals that have, it feels like they have nowhere to be, no time frame. If that's the case, first of all, stay in the right lane, let people pass, and move with a purpose, please.
The problem is people don't know how to drive in roundabouts.
Yeah.
So while they help flow of traffic, why I think we need more of them, people don't know how to handle them. And maybe they go hand in hand. If you force people to navigate through them enough, this might sum it up. It says, guys, don't forget Cosa and Augustine will be arriving to save us. The reality is this is going to take more years. The Wings are waiting on their Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal. Spencer in Toledo. Yeah, it's been one of the themes today, reacting to the NHL's opening free agency period and the lack of high-impact moves from our hockey team. We're going to get to the Pistons coming up at 9:02. John has an issue with the Tobias Harris signing. We'll get to it. But first, roundabouts.
You know what? It should be one of the world's greatest inventions. And we are starting to see more and more roundabouts. And I know when you're on the miles, you know, it's 14, 15 out here and you're heading, you know, to the west, there's roundabouts that have been installed instead of traffic signals. They're supposed to keep the flow of traffic going, except I always seem to get behind somebody that can't merge. They can't find a way to get in line and get around. And then once they do, they can't figure out which lane they're supposed to be in. Well, they want to go straight. Well, so stay a little bit to the right. If you want to go all the way around and make a left, you stay in the middle. You want to go all the way back, or you want to make a U-turn, right? Stay in the middle. Like it's not that hard to figure out, yet there is always somebody that messes it up. And then you have some that are about three, some even four lanes. And there's one, if you're going north on M5, you get the Pontiac Trail, there's a gigantic traffic lane or a traffic circle. And people are always in the wrong lane and then they cut across. I got cut off by somebody that had a riding mower and a trailer. I'm in the lane that you're going to eventually make a left, right? Yes. I'm going north. I'm going to make a left on the Pontiac Trail. I don't even know what the name of the road is. It changes names. They're in the right, and they're trying to go south on 5, so they cut me off not knowing that they're supposed to be in the other lane. And then there's the other thing where, because there's a lot of trucks that get in that one, and if a truck is in the center lane and it's okay for them to go, make the assumption that if you're on the other side of that truck, there's not going to be a car that goes underneath and hits you. So go ahead and go. Even though you can't see, that truck is going. Even if they made a bad decision, that truck is your blocker. They're not going to go through the truck to get to you. So move it!
You get all heated about these roundabouts and these...
It drives me nuts because it literally should keep traffic flow going.
Yes. That's they're better the than stoplights.
They're better than stoplights. And you just have so many people that either they're scared or they can't figure it out. And if you can't figure out a traffic circle, they should add this to the driving test. Until you can figure out a traffic circle, you should not get your license.
Is that an indictment on us as the Motor City that we're so bad at these? Because you're right. You can't pull up to one of those without seeing someone kind of like freeze up, panic, or just kind of yeehaw through the whole thing with a who cares who else is there. We do not drive through roundabouts or traffic circles well. Right. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And then you get the individual who is on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, who thinks that this is somehow the space-time continuum, and they're going to slingshot
that's a good word for it
around the sun to be able to create enough momentum to break the speed of light and be able to make it to Mars. Right? This is... And so it's those individuals that are creating the issues with those that can't pull the trigger.
So the question would be, do we want more of these or not? Because they, in theory, are good for the flow of traffic. But it's only in theory because we have people who don't know what they're doing. So do we want more roundabouts and traffic circles or less? 248-539-9797.
What more? And I just went through a process with two new drivers over the past couple of years, Lucy and Ruby. Lucy's now 18, Ruby's 17. They had their license for a couple of years, going on a couple of years for Ruby. And that actually is one thing that they have to do in the driver's test is they have to navigate a traffic circle. And we practiced that many, many times. I gave them the do's, the don'ts, the, hey, this is something that you're going to have to figure out because it is becoming more a part of our driving scene. And I love the traffic circle. We just need to figure it out. Please, people, figure it out. And it's interesting, too, because when you go to other places, right, the whole Michigan left, when people are first new here, they're like, what is this? I got to turn right to turn left? It is also a great invention here in Michigan to be able to turn, like, because I don't want to get stuck at a traffic light for, you know, four different cycles when I can make a right-hand turn on red, get to the first one, make the left, and then I'm going through straight with the rest of traffic. Like, there are great things that we do here in Michigan. Traffic circles are new. They were not invented here. I've seen them at other places for a lot longer, and the traffic circle is supposed to keep the flow of traffic moving.
Texter says, preach, John. I go through that area every day. It drives me nuts.
Whether it's, and it doesn't matter if it's a weekday or weekend. And if you keep going north on 5, but again, it changes at that point. That's where you're headed towards Waterford. There's a number of traffic circles. And it is a beautiful thing that there's not six different traffic lights. There's just traffic circles because you get to it, you ease in, you keep going straight, you keep moving.
John, I drive that M5 Pontiac Trail Martin Parkway roundabout every single day. Texter says it's a nightmare. I'm behind someone that doesn't know how to drive all the time. Thanks, Sean in White Lake.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, I feel your pain.
It's very challenging to get out of roundabouts, signed Scott and Steve in Detroit. Let's get to Jeff in Ann Arbor.
Let's see what you did there.
Jeff, what's up? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I was just responding to your question. I think we need more roundabouts where they're needed, but what we don't need them is where people arbitrarily want to place them. You've got to travel Earhart Road in Ann Arbor, north of Geddes. It's like there's a roundabout for people's driveways. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the number of roundabouts where there's no traffic.
What, were there traffic lights there before?
No. No. I think there's got to be some kind of a master plan to use federal money to build these because they crop up in the most unusual places in Washtenaw County. It's almost either pitiful or humorous. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've run into a couple in Washtenaw County where you're kind of like, I wonder why this one is here. I get you on that, but I still would prefer that versus if they think that intersection with development or community development that they have plans for, they'd eventually put a stoplight there. I would much rather have a traffic circle.
I would totally agree with you. Check out Earhart Road. Like if you go up to Glacier Road, it only comes off one side of Earhart.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go across Earhart, and there's a roundabout there. A couple of those.
Mm.
It's incredible. So, hope that helps.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Jeff, appreciate it.
John, I love this topic, but I do think you're just using a roundabout to talk about just some people can't drive.
Oh, there's
I
no
mean,
question.
Come on. What you said about the Michigan, yeah, you can turn left on a red. Well, some people don't know that.
Ryan, where are you from?
Okay. It's just paying attention and doing what you're supposed to do.
And you just mentioned a great thing there, because we are now 1 year into the new law that went into effect. I think it was June 30th of last year, mm-hmm. where you can't have your device. It's the distracted driver. The amount of people, and I've seen this at traffic circles as well, where they are one deep or they're two or three deep at a stoplight, and that's where they choose to get on their phone, and then the light turns green, or the person in front of them moves on a traffic circle, and then all of a sudden, you're sit there waiting for this person to move, and I have somebody that's sitting in my passenger seat that gets mad when I honk the horn.
That either deserves a Mark Ryan amen.
Oh, please don't. No.
Or the slow clap, because that is the one thing that's happened since this new law's in place. Yeah. People are sitting at lights longer, mm-hmm. and then that means less people get through the light.
Exactly. And
amen, brother.
You
amen.
And I are both in a position where, like we just talked about the time of dinner, where you're trying to get one kid to an event on time, maybe even a little bit early, because you've got to drop them off and then get to the next one. And you know that if you can line up the lights just right or the traffic circles, that you're going to get there on time, but then somebody, you missed the light because somebody was on their phone.
Exactly.
Drives
and
you nuts.
That's the thing right now. We live way down in Tecumseh, so when we live so far away, we got to go grocery shopping downriver. So we'll go over by West Road sometimes. I challenge you, John, to get onto West Road from Telegraph and go all the way to the river. Stoplight.
Yeah,
and there's no roundabouts, and they won't reconstruct it. It needs roundabouts severely.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. More or less roundabouts? Can we handle them? We should be able to handle them. It's an indictment on us. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years, or over on the west side of the state. And with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's right in the name. All Day IPA. Here's what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, we got a great time coming up on Thursday. It's the 4th of July. Why not celebrate with an All Day IPA? If you're making plans for the fall and game day and tailgates, All Day IPA, you can visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
We'll get to the Pistons in the 9 o'clock hour, but judging by the phone traffic, roundabouts, the hot story of the day. Not what our teams are doing in free agency, but whether or not we have too many or not enough. John, you would make the case, we need more of these.
We do. We need more of them, but we also need people to get comfortable driving in the traffic circles. And I'm not saying you can't be out for a joyride, but I think there are a large number of individuals that have, it feels like they have nowhere to be, no time frame. If that's the case, first of all, stay in the right lane, let people pass, and move with a purpose, please.
The problem is people don't know how to drive in roundabouts.
Yeah.
So while they help flow of traffic, why I think we need more of them, people don't know how to handle them. And maybe they go hand in hand. If you force people to navigate through them enough, they'll figure it out sooner rather than later.
They'll have to.
You just don't want accidents. You don't want people who don't yield.
Well, these are supposed to reduce accidents.
I know.
They're supposed to keep the flow of traffic going. They're supposed to be safer. And science proves that. But when you have people that, and this is like trying to teach somebody who is challenged by technology to use a smartphone and to use some apps. Like, it's supposed to be easier and make your life easier. But for those individuals who can't make that transition, they didn't grow up with this. We didn't grow up with traffic circles, but eventually figure it out.
Omar, Clinton Township, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
Good morning.
Hey, I'm happy you guys touched on this topic because I'm an Uber and Lyft driver, so I love using those roundabouts in certain areas. However, with this advanced technology, there's two areas that they cannot have those roundabouts. One, where they have a lot of foot traffic, like stores and stuff. And second, you can't have them right by high schools, like because Romeo Plank turnabouts are notorious for having a lot of accidents because of right by Dakota High School over there.
High school drivers have a hard time navigating them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like you said, you get some of the guys, some of the drivers, they're kind of scared, you know, to go. And then you got some of them, like Constance said, they hee-haw right through the doggone turnabout. So, it prepares you for a lot of other traffic, especially like in city area where a lot of these people like to go through red lights and stop signs in the city. So it prepares you, it kind of prepares you to expect the unexpected, but it also provides, it saves time and it allows the flow of traffic, like you said, John. So, I would like to have them, but there's just certain areas you can't put them in.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to replace every intersection, right? We can have some traditional intersections.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like there are some roads where you have, the crossing road, you have a busy road that crosses another busy road, like, Shaner. And some of those that it crosses on the east side, when you're crossing Metro Parkway, like there's too much traffic going both ways for this to be a legitimate thing. Like a four-lane highway, you just can't do it.
No. Nick, you have an argument. You're in Walled Lake. Nick, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning. I could talk forever about like what John was talking about with people on their phones and the driver's education system not being well enough. But specific on roundabouts, there is a problem where if you have a street that has too much traffic on it, going into a bunch of streets that don't have as much at a certain time. For example, the F5 and Pontiac Trail roundabout, and the thing just gets backed up because everybody will be going north, and that blocks the people who are in that westbound moving lane, and then they have to wait, and the line, it queues up, and it isn't as good for traffic. There are some spots where, traffic's less where it works great, but others where I just don't think it works because, the traffic's all off, and there's no signals to kind of stop the other side, and so they just keep going and going, and no one can ever hop in.
Yeah, you know what? I've been on some of those where there is a signal, but I've never actually seen the signals working. Like Napier, on that road, they have, when it crosses, I think it's 9 Mile or 10 Mile, one of those, there's a traffic circle where they do have lights that are supposed to help the flow of traffic in high volume times, but I've actually never seen them operational.
Yeah, well, I've seen them too, like in 14 and 15 mile, like in West Bloomfield. But I think those are for actually pedestrians, like to stop all the lanes in case pedestrians go through, which, as the previous caller said, does kind of mess up roundabout to begin with. But on this specific one, I was talking about what the ticket expert said about that Pontiac Trail and M5 roundabout. It doesn't work, and it queues up, and you can look at the traffic. You go to Google Maps and look up, past traffic patterns, and it does. It just slows down because people just can't get through it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to give a little, right? I mean, the part of a roundabout is you do yield.
Well, yes, you do yield. But then you can't yield forever.
Right.
Eventually, you have to ease into traffic.
Yeah. Ticket texters, very different sides of this.
Oh.
I hate roundabouts. They slow things down for the main road. Why does some side street deserve equal access? They're confusing and can lead to accidents. If elected, my first official act, abolish all roundabouts.
Well, the thing about when you have a main road intersected by one that's less traveled, typically, all you do is slow down to enter it. You don't have to worry about somebody entering from those less traveled roads.
A roundabout where there's very little cross traffic is an easy roundabout.
That's the perfect spot for a roundabout.
Yes, because now we're not stuck at a red light while no one's going the other way, wasting our day away.
And you're sitting there going, oh, come on.
Roundabouts are designed perfectly. People ruin them by not yielding. Distracted phone users, they're not paying attention which lane to use. That's Keith in a truck. People who slow down and even stop at roundabouts should forfeit their license, Tom in Oxford.
Yeah, And it's those individuals too that are trying to look at their navigation. Like you can glance down at it before you get to the roundabout to know which exit you're supposed to take. The first one on the right, you're supposed to go straight. You're supposed to go all the way around to go left. Like you should know before you enter the traffic circle so that you're not looking at the map as well. Like which one do I get off on?
Yeah, no, you don't need to do that. John's giving the general public too much credit, thinking their driving skills can comprehend roundabouts, even though I completely agree they are more efficient. TJ and Macomb. Let's get to the phones. We got John and Celine. John, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Gov, you don't like driving, drive down Eureka, Gov. You know how it is out downriver, but I live down by Gov, and I lived in Ann Arbor for almost 30 years. We kind of got used to the roundabouts, so now when we drive around town, and there are roundabouts, I think those of us that lived in Ann Arbor, or John, when you went to school there, you're used to the roundabouts, so it's really no big deal for us, but I think people on the east side, like you said, over off the Shaner area where there are roundabouts, I think it's, unless you see them all the time, you're going to have a little bit more difficulty. So maybe they need to put some more up, especially over on, let's just say Carpenter and Washington. That'd be a great place for a roundabout. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Great show. And Gov, shop at Jerry's or Bush's in Tecumseh. Come on, you don't have to drive all the way to Meyer and on West Road. Have a great day.
This is
all
great.
Right, this Tecumseh myth. I don't really live there. I've just bought into it. Mike has spread it because he took some drop out of me going to a wedding in Tecumseh, which is like an hour from where I really live, which is New Boston. That's why we go over to the West Road because that's where a lot of the stuff is all the time.
Yeah,
in the Tecumseh this, area.
Right. So, we don't have a lot of roundabouts. I think he was very spot on in terms of, look, they can get them if they want them. It's just like a construction going on right now. You complained about the roads before. Now we're getting it. Now you complain about that. I wish Downriver would incorporate way more roundabouts. Because I'll tell you this. Last year when my mom had a lot of medical issues and she had been out at U of M some, I had to go out and get off at Getty's, I think, off of 23. And there are roundabouts getting off the freeway. And I'm like, okay, it was simple. And I'm like, this is so easy. The traffic flow in and off of the freeway is like, it's so easy. And the fact is, I was like, well, they must have had these out here for a while.
Yeah, you go north on 23 in the Brighton area, and just a little bit shy of that, there's a couple where there's a Costco right off of 23.
Isn't it Lee Road?
I think so.
Yeah.
And you get off, and there's like a chain of two or three different roundabouts. One where you can get back on the highway. One that you can go to. There's a Dick's on one side. There's a Costco on the other side. Like all of these options are there. You do need to become familiar with it.
Is there a BJ's there?
It would complete the trifecta, wouldn't it?
We got people who want to jump in on this. We'll get to you after Falar's update. We will update you on the Pistons as well. It's all coming up. It's 97.1. We'll get to the Pistons in the 9 o'clock hour, but judging by the phone traffic, roundabouts, the hot story of the day, not what our teams are doing in free agency, but whether or not we have too many or not enough. John, you would make the case. We need more of these.
We do. We need more of them, but we also need people to get comfortable driving in the traffic circles. And I'm not saying you can't be out for a joyride, but I think there are a large number of individuals that have, it feels like they have nowhere to be, no time frame. If that's the case, first of all, stay in the right lane, let people pass, and just move with a purpose, please.
The problem is, people don't know how to drive in roundabouts.
Yeah.
So while they help flow of traffic, why I think we need more of them, people don't know how to handle them. And maybe they go hand in hand. If you force people to navigate through them enough, they'll figure it out sooner rather than later.
They'll have to.
You just don't want accidents. You don't want people who don't yield.
Are supposed to reduce accidents.
I know.
They're supposed to keep the flow of traffic going. They're supposed to be safer. And science proves that. But when you have people that... And this is like trying to teach somebody who is challenged by technology to use a smartphone and to use some apps. Like it's supposed to be easier and make your life easier. But for those individuals who can't make that transition, they didn't grow up with this. We didn't grow up with traffic circles, but eventually figure it out.
Omar, Clinton Township, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
Good morning.
Hey,
Hey, I'm happy you guys touched on this topic because I'm an Uber and Lyft driver, so I love using those roundabouts in certain areas. However, with this advanced technology, there's two areas that they cannot have those roundabouts. One, where they have a lot of foot traffic, like stores and stuff. And second, you can't have them right by high schools, like because Romeo Plank turnabouts are notorious for having a lot of accidents because of right by Dakota High School over there.
High school drivers have a hard time navigating them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like you said, you get some of the guys, some of the drivers, they're kind of scared, you know, to go. And then you got some of them, like Constance said, they hee-haw right through the doggone turnabout. So, it prepares you for a lot of other traffic, especially like in city area where a lot of these people like to go through red lights and stop signs in the city. So it prepares you, it kind of prepares you to expect the unexpected, but it also provides, it saves time and it allows the flow of traffic, like you said, John. So, I would like to have them, but there's just certain areas you can't put them in.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to replace every intersection, right? We can have some traditional intersections.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, there are some roads where you have, you know, the crossing road, you have a busy road that crosses another busy road, like, you know, Shaner, and some of those that it crosses on the east side. When you're crossing Metro Parkway, like, there's too much traffic going both ways for this to be a legitimate thing. Like a four-lane highway, you just can't do it.
No. Nick, you have an argument. You're in Walled Lake. Nick, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning. I could talk forever about, like, what John was talking about with people on their phones and the driver's education system not being well enough. But specific on roundabouts, there is a problem where if you have a street that has too much traffic on it, going into a bunch of streets that don't have as much at a certain time. For example, the F5 and Pontiac Trail roundabout, and the thing just gets backed up because everybody will be going north, and that blocks the people who are in that westbound moving lane, and then they have to wait, and the line, it queues up, and it isn't as good for traffic. There are some spots where, you know, traffic's less, where it works great, but others where I just don't think it works because, you know, the traffic's all off, and there's no signals to kind of stop the other side, and so they just keep going and going, and no one can ever hop in.
Yeah, you know what? I've been on some of those where there is a signal, but I've never actually seen the signals working. Like Napier, on that road, they have, when it crosses, I think it's 9 mile or 10 mile, one of those, there's a traffic circle where they do have lights that are supposed to help the flow of traffic in high volume times, but I've actually never seen them operational.
Yeah, well, I've seen them too, like in 14 and 15 mile, like in West Bloomfield. But I think those are for actually pedestrians, like to stop all the lanes in case pedestrians go through, which, as the previous caller said, does kind of mess up a roundabout to begin with. But on this specific one, I was talking about what the ticket expert said about that Pontiac Trail and M5 roundabout. It doesn't work, and it queues up, and you can look at the traffic. You go to Google Maps and look up, you know, past traffic patterns, and it does. It just slows down, because people just can't get through it.
Yeah.
We got to give a little, right? I mean, the part of a roundabout is you do yield.
Well, yes, you do yield, but then you can't yield forever.
Right.
Eventually, you have to ease into traffic.
Well, yeah. Ticket texters, very different sides of this.
Oh.
I hate roundabouts. They slow things down for the main road. Why does some side street deserve equal access? They're confusing and can lead to accidents. If elected, my first official act, abolish all roundabouts.
Well, the thing about when you have a main road intersected by one that's less traveled, typically all you do is slow down to enter it. You don't have to worry about somebody entering from those less traveled roads.
A roundabout where there's very little cross traffic is an easy roundabout.
That's the perfect spot for a roundabout.
Yes, because now we're not stuck at a red light while no one's going the other way, wasting our day away.
And you're sitting there going, oh, come on.
Roundabouts are designed perfectly. People ruin them by not yielding. Distracted phone users, they're not paying attention which lane to use. That's Keith in a truck. People who slow down and even stop at roundabouts should forfeit their license. Tom in Oxford.
Yeah. And it's those individuals too that are trying to look at their navigation. Like you can glance down at it before you get to the roundabout to know which exit you're supposed to take. The first one on the right, you're supposed to go straight. You're supposed to go all the way around to go left. Like you should know before you enter the traffic circle so that you're not looking at the map as well. Like which one do I get off on?
Yeah, no, you don't need to do that. John's giving the general public too much credit, thinking their driving skills can comprehend roundabouts, even though I completely agree they are more efficient. TJ and Macomb. Let's get to the phones. We got John and Celine. John, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, you guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Gov, you don't like driving, drive down Eureka, Gov. You know how it is out downriver, but I live down by Gov, and I lived in Ann Arbor for almost 30 years. We kind of got used to the roundabouts, so now when we drive around town, and there are roundabouts, I think those of us that lived in Ann Arbor, or John, when you went to school there, you're used to the roundabouts, so it's really no big deal for us, but I think people on the east side, like you said, over off the Shaner area where there are roundabouts, I think it's, unless you see them all the time, you're going to have a little bit more difficulty. So maybe they need to put some more up, especially over on, let's just say Carpenter and Washtenaw. That'd be a great place for a roundabout. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Great show. And Gov, shop at Jerry's or Bush's in Tecumseh. Come on, you don't have to drive all the way to Meyer and on West Road. Have a great day.
This is
all
great.
Right, this Tecumseh myth. I don't really live there. I've just bought into it. Mike has spread it because he took some drop out of me going to a wedding in Tecumseh, which is like an hour from where I really live, which is New Boston. That's why we go over to the West Road because that's where a lot of the stuff is all the time.
Yeah,
in the Tecumseh this, area.
Right. So, we don't have a lot of roundabouts. I think he was very spot on in terms of, look, they can get them if they want them. It's just like a construction going on right now. You complained about the roads before. Now we're getting it. Now you complain about that. I wish Downriver would incorporate way more roundabouts. Because I'll tell you this. Last year when my mom had a lot of medical issues and she had been out at U of M some, I had to go out and get off at Getty's, I think, off of 23. And there are roundabouts getting off the freeway. And I'm like, the first time through, I was this is the first time I've done this, really. I'm like, okay, it was simple. And I'm like, this is so easy. The traffic flow in and off of the freeway is like, it's so easy. And the fact is, I was like, well, they must have had these out here for a while.
Yeah, you go north on 23 in the Brighton area, and just a little bit shy of that, there's a couple. Well, there's a Costco right off of 23.
Isn't it Lee Road?
I think so.
Yeah,
and you get off, and there's like a chain of two or three different roundabouts. One where you can get back on the highway. One that you can go to. There's a Dick's on one side. There's a Costco on the other side. Like all of these options are there. You do need to become familiar with it.
Is there a BJ's there?
It would complete the trifecta, wouldn't it?
We got people who want to jump in on this. We'll get to you after Filar's update. We will update you on the Pistons as well. It's all coming up. It's 97.1.